Eagles Entertainment.
With the 13th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by Life Brand. I'm your host, Fran Duffy, and it's time to get you ready for another week of college football. Week 12 is here. Last week, a lot of fun, a lot of big teams lost in some big spots. I can't imagine that it can be topped, but... what do we say? We say that every single week. And guess what? College football always finds a way to top itself. We're going to start things off here with Mr. Relevant, where Eric Edholm from NFL.com is going to join us. He does a great job covering the sport, covering the draft. And we're going to talk through some of the players that have caught his eye so far this fall, who he's excited to see here this weekend, some of the matchups he's got his eye on. And we'll do the same thing with Ben Fennell in Saturday Scouting, as well as go through a litany of announcements by the Senior Bowl. Some of the big players in the senior class announced their intentions to go to Mobile. We'll also hit on some of the Shrine Bowl acceptances. We've got five to hit on from the last few days, so we'll do that there in Saturday Scouting. And then after that, we've got Pick Six. Ross Tucker is back once again to go through what happened last week in college football and start to pick some of these big games here. We've got our weekly battle. We'll see if I was able to extend my lead or if he was able to catch up. We'll find out there at the end of the show. As always, be sure to go and leave us a comment or a question or a mock draft or rankings, whatever you've got for us, leave it for us in our Apple Podcast page in the comment section. We will get to it here in an upcoming episode. Appreciate everybody that has done that here in recent weeks. That said, let's get things started with Eric Edholm, this week's Mr. Relevant.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
All right, well, excited to welcome back here to the Journey of the Draft podcast for this week's Mr. Relevant, Eric Edholm. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. You can also follow his work over at NFL.com. Eric, welcome back to the show, man. It's great to have you.
Yeah, good to be here, man. I still feel like I'm in catch-up mode on draft stuff, but you know, there's never enough time to watch 750 players or whatever, but I enjoy it nonetheless.
And the list, it feels like it never ends because you know you feel like you've done a lot, and then you realize, oh yeah, I've got like 300 more guys to study. But I do know that you always have your eye on your television on Saturdays, and so I do want to ask you, if you had a Heisman vote just based off this season,
yeah,
who gets the Heisman and why in your eyes?
Yeah, not what I was expecting coming in necessarily, but I mean, I've really been impressed with Drake May. I mean, he's, you know, maybe in a few years we're talking about him in the same way we did Andrew Luck or something like that. But I kind of feel like he's got to be a finalist if he, you know, keeps going. But, you know, Caleb Williams, I think he's really, you know, been underrespected in some ways. I'm a big fan of Blake Corum at Michigan. You know, I put him in my top five. Hendon Hooker, boy, I mean, I don't see how you leave him out. And then, you know, it kind of comes down to a few guys. I mean, Stetson Bennett certainly gets some notice. CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, you know, Bo Nix, Michael Penix even. I mean, I don't know who you got. Who, any non-obvious guys who belong?
I feel like it's got to be Hooker based off what he's done and how he's vaulted this Tennessee program. But you could swing me on a number of different ways, but I feel like Hendon Hooker's got to go in as a favorite.
Yep. I think he's got to be up there. Tennessee's body work is so strong.
Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you this, because I know obviously you do a great job of writing features for NFL.com. You're going to be covering these draft prospects throughout the course of the entire process, and you're keeping an eye on them not just as players, but also talking about them as people. You've always done great work throughout the course of your career covering these guys. Is there a player whose story you think is important that you feel, you know, people should check this guy out and make sure you're in tune with not just who he is on the field, but away from it as well?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I like that part of the draft journey, if you will, just getting to know the players. I just wrote about Andre Carter at Army, and you know, we could have our first non seventh round pick from Army for the first time since like the Vietnam War. So yes. It's a pretty cool story, and I don't know if he cracks round one, but I mean, he's got the traits to do it with a strong postseason. So he's, you know, go check that one out. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, Will Levis has got an interesting story. He's got a really athletic family. It's not a, you know, McCaffrey level of family athleticism, but pretty interesting background with his parents and his grandparents. And obviously coming from Penn State to Kentucky and, you know, kind of taking a little bit of a step back this year. Derek Hall at Auburn is a kid who overcame a kind of a wild childhood for, you know, he's born like 4 months premature, wasn't breathing, was on life support, you know, had this unbelievable rise just to survive. And here he is as a, you know, as a possible NFL prospect as an edge. He's a guy that I really appreciate. I mentioned Corum earlier too. I just think that, you know, when he gets in the interview rooms with teams, he's really gonna blow them away in a lot of ways. Just his work ethic. I mean, as a, you know, school kid going to a breakfast club workout, having to get up at like 3:30 in the morning and his dad driving him there, and just hearing Harbaugh talk about him in the same way he talks about Frank Gore. I mean, it makes you sit up in your seat and take notice. But two more that I outlined: Mo Ibrahim at Minnesota, just what he's overcome. You know, I mean, lost a friend to a shooting, had the, you know, injury history, and he's been over 100 yards rushing every game this year. He's been pretty phenomenal. Fun guy to watch too. Brian Brzee from Clemson. Sure. You know, we lost the tragic story of his sister, Ella, succumbing to brain cancer, and he's been through injuries as well. Kind of an inspirational guy. So, you know, those are a few good ones that I think, you know, people should take notice of.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought a few of those guys up. I mean, Brzee obviously has an outstanding story. Andre Carter, I looked it up back in the summer. He was one of the first players I studied, and it was like, we haven't seen a player from a service academy go in the top 100 since like 68 or something like that. It was even before that. It's crazy. But yeah, Andre Carter certainly in that, because it's not even like, oh, can he be round one? It's like, just go in the top 100. It'll be the first time we've seen that in decades, almost 50 years now at this point. All right, so looking at some of these players on the field now, is there a guy that you've studied so far that you feel like, you know what, I feel like I like this guy more than what most people are kind of billing him as?
Yeah, and, you know, to be totally frank, I don't do a lot of, like, mock draft reading this time of year. I don't like to be kind of biased, but and it's not like I don't care what other people have to think. It's just more, you know, I want to focus on my sort of, reporting and whatnot. But a few guys that I don't know exactly where people have them ranked, but I'd be shocked if it was as high as I have them. But I think Darnell Washington at Georgia is just an animal, man. I mean, 6'7", 270-something. I mean, what a hoss. He's improved as a pass blocker when they've asked him to do it. He's a really good run blocker. You know, he's averaging 16 yards a catch. And, you know, I just think that, yeah, I could see like the Titans loving him or something like that. I mean, there are a lot of teams that would love him, but, you know, Brock Bowers is great. He'll be a phenomenal NFL prospect, but don't forget about Washington. He's one of my favorites. Mazie Smith from Michigan. Yeah. I know he got a little attention over the summer, but, you know, just like from your perspective, you've seen Jordan Davis a lot. And obviously the big nose tackle is an interesting debate these days as the run game kind of cycles back in, but, you know, he does a lot. And he plays a lot of snaps. He's not just your gap plugger. I mean, I think he's got more than that. He makes plays in the backfield. So I like him a lot. And I got to be a homer here. I can't help it. Every now and then it just slips out. I'm a Mizzou guy. So Chris Abrams-Drain is a really interesting long corner who I remember watching him in his freshman year against Kentucky kind of chasing his tail. And they were clearly picking on him. But by the end of the season, he was their best slot defender and really, you know, good at it. And then they move him outside and he looks natural there and he's got length and athleticism. So, you know, punt returner too. I mean, he's fascinating to me.
When you look, we talked a little bit about Hendon Hooker earlier and some of these other quarterbacks. Is there a non-quarterback though that has really helped his stock the most in your eyes? You're like, yeah, you know what? I feel a lot differently about this player than I did at this point 4 months ago.
Yeah, and 4 months ago, to be totally honest, I didn't know anything about Olafoshanu. I mean, I just hadn't studied him. I mean, I'd seen the name, but I didn't know anything about him. But, boy, in a really small body of work at Penn State, he's looked the part. And, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about the next Jonathan Ogden or what, but, I mean, boy, especially in a year where there's some murkiness over the offensive tackle class, you know, I mean, it's not a beloved group yet, I would say, compared to what we've seen in some recent years. So, but boy, I mean, he's fascinating for his age and his, you know, upside, I would say. And just by virtue of where he's playing now, Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, you know, I mean, it can't hurt. He's at Alabama doing the things he's doing and just how much they've had to count on him this year. And, you know, a season that's been more of a struggle for Bama than it normally is. So his, you know, I mean, he's got, you watch him and you think Alvin Kamara, just not as big. So I really like Jahmyr Gibbs, and he would have been great had he stayed at Georgia Tech. But the point is, you know, this is a kind of a different deal right now.
Yeah, I mean, you get that additional confirmation, like, oh yeah, this guy can do it at the highest level. It always helps to have more information, and having that on Gibbs is certainly a good qualifier. Last question for you, just looking ahead to this weekend in college football, is there a specific player or a one-on-one matchup that you're most excited about as we get into this weekend?
Yeah, I think Kentucky-Georgia's this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't confirm that. I just want to make sure. All right, without saying something stupid. But obviously, you know, Will Levis will be at the Senior Bowl. And, sure. and you know, he's – I just think that if he were able to play well in this game against that defense, that would go a long way. We know Kentucky's had their struggles. So that's a tape I'll watch, you know, and obviously probably get a lot from. Siaki Ika, the big nose tackle against TCU, that's a massive matchup, and he's a fascinating guy. We mentioned Smith earlier too, and for the Night Owls, you know, we got a pretty good quarterback matchup. I know they don't go against each other, but I really like Clark Phillips at Utah, and the kid Christian Gonzalez, the Colorado transfer too. You know, a little bit more length and mass than Phillips. So those two are. You know, I mean, for people who are starting to look at that position for help next year, I think that'd be a pretty good game to take in.
Yeah, I love that. The Big 12 one with Siaki Ika going up against Steve Avili, one of the top centers in the country. Both guys going to the Senior Bowl. So that's a little scouter's delight there between Baylor and TCU. I love that one. Well, Eric, once again, man, thanks so much for joining us here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by Life Brand, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it, man. See ya.
It's time for Saturday Scouting.
All right, time now to welcome in Ben Fennell as we go through not just the players to watch here this weekend in college football, but further go through some more All-Star Game announcements, a bunch of names announced this week by the Senior Bowl and Jim Nagy and his staff. And we'll start with the offensive skill players here, Ben.
Big-time names. Yeah, big week.
Huge week for the Senior Bowl. A bunch of names added to this roster. And we'll start at running back, Chris Rodriguez from Kentucky. We talked about him in recent weeks, actually throughout the season. Rodriguez added, he's the first running back addition to this roster.
Yeah, big, heavy, bruising running back, downhill, power scheme guy. He's probably going to be pushing 230 by the time the combine hits. Need him to lower his pads a little bit better through contact, but he's an absolute battering ram that's going to be good in short yardage. Catches the football surprisingly well, too.
Yeah, I actually take that back. Cameron Peoples, the other running back, so two big bruisers added to that.
I compared him to Eddie Lacy, Chris Rodriguez.
There you go. Yeah, that's that. That's the kind of player you're talking about with Chris Rodriguez. Let's go to the wide receiver position, and we've got a couple guys from the Big 12. We'll start there. Xavier Hutchinson from Iowa State, a guy we've talked about numerous times here this fall. Darius Davis from TCU we have not talked about. So Hutchinson, one of my personal favorites from the senior class. I think he really does a lot in terms of being able to get in and out of breaks, reliable at the catch point. Davis, very small, but this guy's electric.
Yeah, I'm going to try to give you guys a snapshot really quick on all these players. Xavier Hutchinson, Iowa State, I think can be an immediate number two for someone like a Gabriel Davis. Good vertical gear, really good size. Darius Davis the other way, small kid, but insane track speed. Louisiana State 200 meter champion, 4.3 speed all day long, like a Travis Benjamin type, downtown, vertical shots, yak returner.
And Dontavian Wicks from Virginia, kind of a blend of the two in that he's a big-bodied kid, but he's got some wheels as well.
He's a great route runner, great against press, good tracking, good hands. He's kind of your possession receiver that knows how to get himself open.
And Michael Wilson from Stanford, another big-bodied receiver added to this roster. A guy that we haven't really talked about too much, but what he's doing out west, obviously earned his way to Mobile.
Yeah, been around the program for 5 years. Team captain, had a really big year with Davis Mills in 2019. Good special teams contribution and good size at 6'2", 210. Perfect type of guy to fill out your receiver room.
Looking to the offensive line, they added a couple offensive tackles. They had Cody Mock from North Dakota State, one of the top seniors, and they get two more with Michael Bergeron from Syracuse, I know a favorite of yours, and then Jalen Duncan from Maryland, who is in a lot of first-round mock drafts.
Yeah, Jalen Duncan really looks the part. He has the tools, really needs to refine his technique and just clean up some of the inconsistencies. Big game this weekend against Ohio State. Just came off his Penn State game, so needs to keep stacking good games out there. And then Matthew Bergeron, Sean Tucker at Syracuse, the running back's been prolific for the past 2 to 3 seasons. Well, Matthew Bergeron has been carving a lot of those holes for him. He really looks like a Tristan Wirfs type of tackle. Won't have the freaky testing, won't have that level of explosiveness, but that type of size. He's 6'5", 320 all day long, really good people mover.
And then on the interior, they had a first round offensive guard from Chattanooga get drafted in the first round a year ago. Curtis McClendon, hoping to make it two straight there for the Senior Bowl. And then Steve Avila, the center from TCU, graded as one of the best centers in the country coming into the season.
Yeah, Avila has been around that program for a while, really good in the screen game. McClendon Curtis, I'm sure we're going to get that mixed up a few times. Cole Strange, what was he, 6'3", 305, 310?
Something like that, yep.
This kid's 6'8".
Yeah.
340 almost. He played a little left tackle this year, mostly at right guard. Look for big number 52 out there. If you're on his tracks, he will move you, but needs a little bit more functional movement, in my opinion.
Now let's go over to the defensive front. And Tyree Wilson, another guy that's in a lot of round one mock drafts, he announced that he has accepted his invitation to go to the Senior Bowl. So Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. Will McDonald, staying in the Big 12 from Iowa State, another guy that was highly graded by scouts coming into the season. Very different from Wilson in that Wilson's more of like a D tackle hybrid. McDonald more of like that rush Sam type of player because of his athleticism. And then Dylan Horton from TCU. So three Big 12 linemen announced their intentions for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, Tyree Wilson really looks the part. He is hulking. He is long. He is strong. Can play inside, outside. He's going to be a really nice piece for a versatile defensive line front. And Will McDonald, a little bit late to football, still kind of, you know, finding his craft as a pass rusher. But he's long, explosive, has a lot of tools, and I think his best football is ahead of him. Dylan Horton, really interesting story. It was like a 200-pound safety out of high school. Went to New Mexico as a linebacker. All of a sudden put on 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Now up to 275 and is this hulking defensive end for TCU, hunting quarterbacks out there. And Yaya Diaby, really explosive. Kind of a wide hip, stiff-hipped edge rusher. But in a linear sense, he can go and cover a lot of ground. Really good on inside moves. You'll see him lined up at 4i and 3-tech as well. He's like 270, maybe even 280 by now.
Yeah, another one of these hybrid guys from Northwestern. We've talked about him a decent amount here so far this season, and that's Adetamiwa Adebare, 6'2", 275 pounds. He's got some edge reps and some interior reps. Another guy heading down to Mobile.
Stiff and strong. He is going to be 30 reps in the bench press. He's going to be fast in the 40, good in the broad, good explosiveness in verticals. I just need him to be a little bit looser, a little bit looser hips, a little bit more flexibility in his pass rush, but he has strong hands and explosive of lower half, and he is very, very powerful in the core.
So you got a couple hybrid guys there with Diaby and Adebarwe, and then you've got true interior guys, Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, yep. A guy a lot of people love, Fabian Lovett from Florida State as well.
Yeah, Benton's really long, tall, nose tackle with a wrestling background, gave people trouble as a true freshman, go put on that tape back in 2018. We've been talking about him for a few years. Fabian Lovett, this guy is a straight butt kicker out there, no gloves at Florida State. He just is a great stack and shed type of defensive tackle. Remind me a lot of Davon Hamilton coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Kind of a 6'4 D tackle that loves this to stack you, play peekaboo, and just toss you off of him. Really a bit of a no-nonsense. He's a guy that takes ball carriers and just slams them into the ground. He's a fun guy, an infectious type of personality, kind of a Timmy Jernigan type for going back to the Florida State personalities.
And then we've got a couple linebackers here, off-ball guys. I have not done any work on film on either of these two players. So Aubrey Miller Jr. from Jackson State and Eku Leota from Auburn.
So Eku Leota is a edge guy.
Okay.
So he plays off the edge. He's about 6'3", 6'4", 255. Really good lower half, thick quads, bubble in his butt, sets an edge really strong. Not a loose, flexible edge rusher, though. He's a guy that plays a good effort, going to collapse pockets, beat up on tight ends in the run game. I don't know if he's going to be an exceptional tester or anything. Maybe more of a Sam linebacker type for an odd front team that can maybe play some defensive end and some sub, but not the sexiest pass rusher, but a strong football player. Aubrey Miller, interesting story. Jackson State tackling machine. He was a 4-star linebacker at Missouri years back. Very highly touted prospect in 2017 out of the state of Tennessee. They do a very high-profile high school prospect award in Mr. Tennessee. That year in 2017, it was like Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins, Trey Smith, Cade Mays, all like the who's who out of Tennessee. He was in there as well. So this guy was a highly touted kid out of high school. I don't know what happened at Missouri, but ended up at Jackson State. Absolute tackling machine out there.
And then going to the secondary, two names here. Jartavis Martin from Illinois, who has really kind of been off the radar throughout the course of the preseason and going into the summer, coming into the season, really helped himself with what he did this fall. And then Jammie Robinson from Florida State, who is the opposite. Everybody knew who Jammie Robinson was, and he has had a good season as well down there for the Seminoles. So give us your take here on Martin and Robinson.
So Robinson, I've been, you know, anointing as this year's Dax Hill, Jalen Petrie type. You know, he's the guy that's always going to be right around the line of scrimmage as that safety nickel type. He's a blitzer, good in run support, blows up all sorts of action in the alley, good ball skills. He's that versatile hybrid defensive back that I think everyone's going to covet in this draft. It's probably going to go right in that same territory. Early day two, maybe one of the first picks off in round two. And Jartavis Martin, which now there's now three Illinois defensive backs going to the Senior Bowl. A couple overnight with Devin Witherspoon and Sidney Brown, who is Chase Brown's twin brother.
Yep.
I think we all know the running back. But Sidney Brown is a five-year starter at Illinois. Chase Brown transferred to Illinois from Western Michigan to join his brother. So I think Sidney Brown has somehow gotten forgotten because Chase has been such a prolific ball carrier. We all love our offensive guys. But Jartavis Martin is a corner out there. He is a fifth-year senior. He's from Florida. He's fast. 2,300 snaps played, three interceptions this year. He had eight starts as a true freshman. He's played some in the slot, some safety. He's literally played every spot in that secondary out there. So he's one of those versatile types. It's going to go on day three. That might be a corner at the next level. Could be a safety. Could be a nickel. Could just be a special teamer early. But that's what you want in your defensive back room on day three, guys. Versatile players that are tough and can do a lot of different things.
Love it. Well, real quickly, we've got five names to add to the Shrine Bowl roster as well. And so, real quick, two small school receivers. You got Dallas Daniels from Jackson State and Jadakiss Bonds from Hampton. Bonds is a bigger body pass catcher. We're talking about like 6'3 and a half, 200 plus pounds. Had a huge sophomore season back in 2019 that really put him on the map. Just under 1,000 yards, 15 touchdowns. He's been a little bit banged up since that point, but still has put up some nice numbers, has had a nice season. I know the scouts have really kind of caught his, or he's caught scouts' eye with the way that he's played. And again, another big-bodied threat. Now, Dallas Daniels, he has not necessarily been, he's been very much off the wayward path here for NFL scouts. 6'1", 180 pounds. This is his first year at Jackson State. He transferred in from Western Illinois. He was at a couple JUCOs before that. So I think when you look at Dallas Daniels, what he's done here this season, playing down there at Jackson State, has really caught people's eye. Now he's heading out to Vegas for the Shrine Bowl. Then you go over to the defensive side. Three kind of pass rushers, guys that are going to play off the edge. Robert Beal from Georgia. He's in his first year as a starter. He's like 6'3". He's got pretty good, pretty long arms, a well-rounded player, just not special in any one way from an athletic standpoint. Brenton Cox from Florida. Well, we talked about him after he actually just got kicked off the team at Florida.
That is true.
He's played there for a couple of years. So this is a guy that, you know, he's got that ability to defend the run and get after the quarterback a little bit, but obviously some off-field things to sort
explosive
through
explosive edge rusher, too. Yeah, he's got spin moves and high side rushes all day long. Just got to clean up some of the off-field things.
No question. And then Isaiah Land from Florida A&M won the Buck Buchanan Award down there at for what are they? They're like the Rattlesnakes, right? For Florida A&M, yeah, I believe so. But Land, extremely productive, but a very light in the pants pass rusher. So some feel he might be more of a linebacker convert moving into the NFL.
And just collectively, Tennessee Chattanooga. We talked about an Old Dominion tackle last week. Hampton, Jackson State, Florida A&M. Play good football. These schools will find you. So don't get worried about where you're playing or the class. All sorts of schools, all different classes here that we just covered in the last 5-10 minutes, not to mention the ones last week, not to mention the ones that are going to come in the next month or two.
Yep.
Play good football wherever you are. The NFL will find you.
All right, well, let's get to our matchups to watch here for this weekend in college football. Ben, I'm going to kick us off because we've got a good one here. Tennessee, South Carolina. South Carolina, one of the top corners in the country, Cam Smith, going up against this pass game. Cedric Tillman, Jalin Hyatt, both guys are still being in that round one mix when you look at mock drafts. Tillman, the senior, Hyatt, the underclassman, but both guys are able to make big plays, and no matter who Cam Smith sees, that's going to be a fun matchup to go back and study on tape.
That's just a wicked duo when they're both healthy. Tillman's every bit of, you know, 220, 225, big physical receiver. Yep, and he could run, but he could put his butt on you and kind of post you up too. And then Jalin Hyatt, all of a sudden, better make sure your shoes are tied because that kid can boogie. He's a 4-3 receiver all day long. Cam Smith's a good player, just doesn't have that like signature performance or that highlight play to, you know, to wow you. I think Keely Ringo's been, you know, kind of stacking some good performances, had some signature picks and pass breakups, you know, going around social media and on the film. I think Cam Smith needs a signature performance, but I'll go out west where we have a really fun matchup, UCLA and USC.
Yeah.
Big Pac-12 showdown here. Caleb Williams, I think he's going to have his hands full at USC because UCLA has two edge rushers. that are dominating this season. Second and third in the Pac-12 in pressures. That's Grayson Murphy and Liatu Latu,
yep,
who is a Washington transfer who had to medically retire for 2 years.
Yep.
Now he's back and all of a sudden just destroying tackles out there. And Fran, all sorts of technical pass rush moves. Saw that kind of Superman cross chop last week against Oregon, I believe. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure. But he's a technical pass rusher with a good first step. He's long. He's tall. And Murphy is a North Texas transfer. So, you know, Chip Kelly out there working the transfer portal, getting some talent on the defensive line. Big showdown here, UCLA, USC this weekend.
Latu was the player that Dane picked for our On the Clock segment this week. It was a losing effort, but Latu a good selection there just because of what he can do getting after the quarterback.
Not sure if there's any relation to Latu at Alabama.
I don't believe so.
Same spelling here.
Yes, I don't believe so. All right, let's go with a player that's got the most to gain. Who could really benefit from a strong performance? And look, there's really a couple of ways I look at this. Is, all right, looking at the big matchups, who's going up against the top teams, because obviously that's a huge, huge stage. There's sometimes it's a small school going up against a bigger school as well. But for me, you look at Georgia taking on Kentucky. I mean, this can be a huge, huge opportunity for Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback, to come on. If he can have a big performance here against the Bulldogs, that will go a long, long way to kind of clearing up any questions people might have based off some of the turnovers this season, some of the decision-making at times. So that would be a huge boost for him here this weekend.
Well, you picked a quarterback that went from the Big Ten to the SEC. I'll pick a quarterback that went from the SEC to the Pac-12. And that's Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, yeah.
Big showdown against Utah this week. Utah's on a 4-game win streak. They beat number 7 USC a few weeks ago. It's a really good defense. Bo Nix having a strong season. 72% completions, his best season yet as far as accuracy. Only 5 interceptions, 25 touchdowns, but a heartbreaking loss last week against Washington. So I want to see him bounce back and kind of, you know, clear the cobwebs and have that short-term memory, which Bo Nix is a kind of a forgotten quarterback prospect in this class. I feel like we're a little desensitized to him, just the fact we've been hearing his name for 3, 4, 5 years. True freshman starter at Auburn, never quite lived up to the expectations, whether it's him or the program, a little bit of both. But he's having a really strong season out there at Oregon. We've seen these transfers have lightning in a bottle for one season before. I don't see why he can't be the darling of this class with that. So we see guys like, you know, Will Levis, like you just set up in first round conversations. I think Bo Nix has warranted a season to be discussed.
Yeah, just again, the senior class of quarterbacks is just so, so deep. I really find it hard to believe that both the Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl won't have 8 names to fill out their depth charts here and once we get to January. Let's now call our shots here, Ben. Predict a big game from a prospect this weekend. Last week, you centered in on South Carolina corner Cam Smith with a 2 interception performance, just 2 tackles. He came up a little bit short there.
I can't get it right.
Who do you like here for this weekend?
Well, I was browsing the schedule, and there's obviously a lot of conference battles this week, and we're getting late into the season, but there's a weird non-conference game. Number 6, LSU, facing UAB, the Blazers. And I know you may be thinking, the Blazers, where do they play? The Sun Belt, or what conference are they in? They have NFL talent all over this team. And I'm really excited to watch Starling Thomas, the 5th cornerback out there for UAB. He's a 5th-year senior. This kid is really interesting. Alabama State 100-meter champ, ran a 10-4, was on the freak list this summer, Bruce Feldman's great profile of workouts, 24 miles per hour. Now he's allowing a really low completion rate this year. So I think he's going to have a big performance against some SEC receivers out there at LSU. I think UAB is not going to win the game, but I think Starling Thomas is going to get his hands on 2 picks. He has 12 PBUs, no interceptions this year.
Okay.
I think he gets 2 this weekend.
Man.
Has a signature performance when the spotlight is on him against LSU. Not to mention almost 600 special team snaps in his career too.
There you go.
Really fun player out there at UAB.
Gutsy to go for a guy that's got no picks to go for 2 here. I like that. All right, going up against LSU.
Starling Thomas the 5th. Great name too.
So I've been really struggling in this segment as well in terms of picking out an individual defense performance, but finally had one hit for me this past week. Kalijah Cansey, the Pitt defensive tackle going up against Virginia. I predicted 2 sacks. Well, he surpassed that. He got 3 against the Cavaliers. So Kalijah Cansey coming through for me. Let's see if I can make it 2 in a row. I'm going to look at Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson going up against Vanderbilt. You're like, oh, well, Fran, yeah, of course, he's going to have a big game. Well, I'm going to say that he's going to set a career high in passing yardage here. Anthony Richardson, I believe he had 456 in that shootout with Tennessee a few weeks back. Let's say he passes that career high in passing yardage for Anthony Richardson against the Commodores, who just got their first SEC win in like 3 years against Kentucky. So maybe they'll ride that wave a little bit high and see if Anthony Richardson can't surpass that.
I like that one. That's a good one.
All All right, well, let's go now to our mock draft roundup. And this week, we're going to go with Brentley Weissman, who was just on the show earlier this week talking through edge rushers. He put out a new mock draft over at the Draft Network. And the top five picks, Ben, here we go. Number one, Houston Texans taking Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. Number two, the Las Vegas Raiders selecting Alabama pass rusher Will Anderson. So Roll Tide going 1-2 here in this mock draft. At number three, the Carolina Panthers selecting Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud. At number four, the Philadelphia Eagles selecting pass rusher Miles Murphy from Clemson. And then at number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars taking USC wide receiver Jordan Addison. So, Ben, before we get into the rest of this top 10, let's take a look at this this Eagles pick here at number four. Obviously, this is the selection from the New Orleans Saints. Here's the blurb from Brentley, and then we'll get through the selection. Here's what Brentley said. The Eagles continue to add to the trenches here with one of the best players in the country. Miles Murphy is an explosive pass rusher off the edge who wreaks havoc with his blend of burst and power. He's still a bit raw with his hands, but his tools are something that all teams covet in their pass rushers. So, Ben, it's been a couple weeks since we've discussed this pick. We always joke that it is one of the most popular selections for the Eagles in these mock drafts, but every single week we're having new listeners as we get closer and closer to the pre-draft process. So give your thoughts on Miles Murphy here going up this high in the draft. Do you think that's fair value? That's my first part of this question.
Yeah, I think he's a top 10 value prospect. He's a really strong edge rusher. He's a three down player. He's explosive. He's powerful. He's long. I think he's going to have all the traits you want for any scheme or any position. And we want to see, you know, just how freaky the testing is and how versatile he can be to maybe slide inside or play out in space for Jonathan Gannon's scheme out here in Philadelphia. Fourth overall means there's a lot of other players to consider. So you're stacking these players and weighing them against the other prospects, which it's not hard to look at 5, 6, 7, 8 here right after Miles Murphy, and you have to stack his ability against the other guys.
And like
too,
Jalen Carter at 8. Like, do you take Miles Murphy over Jalen Carter, like in a vacuum?
Yeah, that's going to be a big conversation. And I think, having these debates, of prospects and positional value is going to be really intriguing.
There's been a lot of discourse on Twitter this week. Brandon Thorne, who's been on the show multiple times, talking about the value of interior rush. I know that Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network just tweeted this, the value of run stuffing defensive tackles, the big bodied guys, and how that, and this was the Jordan Davis discussion, but that defensive tackle position value, it's interesting from both ends of it, both a run defense and pass rush.
Yeah, a lot
standpoint.
Of conversation this week, a lot of it exploding off of a great ESPN conversation with Orlowski and Mina Kimes talking about the obviously success of the run game in the NFL, but how much zone is down. And it's a lot more gap schemes, which means firing off with double teams and coming at you downhill in the run game, which means suddenly those fleet of foot defensive tackles that were excelling in the zone schemes suddenly have to hold up double teams and hold their anchors. And now you want big 320, 330 guys again.
All right, well, let's go through the rest of this top 10 real quick. Number six, the Chicago Bears selecting Ohio State left tackle Paris Johnson. Detroit Lions at number seven taking Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky. At number eight, the Seattle Seahawks selecting Georgia's Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle there. At number nine, the Houston Texans selecting wide receiver Quentin Johnson from TCU. And at number 10, the Pittsburgh Steelers selecting Olufashinu, the left tackle, the redshirt sophomore from Penn State. So, Ben, of those top 10 picks, What do you think is most likely and why?
I think you skipped number five, Jordan Addison.
No, I hit that before we talked Miles.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I would probably go Paris Johnson, tackle to the Chicago Bears. I think obviously adding some offensive line depth in front of Justin Fields is going to be the name of the game. And I really like the tackle pecking order that Brentley set up here with Paris Johnson being the first off the board, then Olufashinu out of Penn State, and then Broderick Jones out of Georgia going 16th overall. I think that's where it's going to end up early May. Those three are going to be the top three tackles.
I would say talking with people that have been through Ohio State this fall, they say like Paris Johnson is every bit the real deal. Like, in terms of, because that was a big question, projecting him from guard to tackle. What was he going to look like here this year? And obviously has come through in a big way.
And then after
way.
Those three, I think the debate starts. Whether it's Jalen Duncan, whether it's Peter Skoronski, whether it's Bergeron. I see he has Anton Harris at Oklahoma in the first round. I think the debate starts after those three.
Well, I want to stay at that position. And Fashanu at 10 to Pittsburgh, I think makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think Dan Moore's been solid. He hasn't been great. I don't know if it's like send Dan Moore to the bench, but I think it's more of like, hey, you know what? We need offensive line help. Let's take the best guy on the board, and Fashanu. I know that Pittsburgh has some of those inroads with the Penn State program, so I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, let them figure it out. They have Dan Moore and you know, Okorafor on the right side.
I think Moore also play some right tackle at A&M? I have to go back and look. I thought he did. Yeah.
But they really gave him no competition this summer at either spot for the Steelers. So I think adding some high level competition to that offensive line room and just seeing what cream rises to the top, I think that's what you need to do.
So we talked about the Eagles' first pick at number 4. Let's talk about their second pick, number 31, the last pick in this mock draft. And the pick here is Utah cornerback Clark Phillips. So here's the blurb from Brentley. The rich get richer. Darius Slay and James Bradbury are arguably the best corner tandem in the NFL, but you can never have too many corners on your team. Clark Phillips III is a player I want on my roster. He is a true alpha with his competitiveness and toughness. He's undersized, but his instincts, ball skills, and quickness will allow him to succeed in the NFL for years to come. Honestly, Ben, I agree exactly with everything that Brentley just said there in terms of Phillips and what he brings to the table. We loved when we watched him together this summer. We loved the edge that he played with. He's got the ability to find the football. He's instinctive. He's tough. Just undersized.
Yeah, exactly. I think he reminds me a lot of, you know, Roger McCreary last draft.
Sure.
He went early second round of the Tennessee Titans, and it's going to have to go to a team that's okay with the shorter profile for a corner. You don't typically see this type of corner going round one, but being the last pick in the first round, I think anything is in play at that point. So I think if the Eagles like him and, you know, they feel like he's a fit for their scheme, I don't think the day two thresholds and forcing a guy like that into day two is going to be necessary.
So real quick, the 5 players that went before Clark Phillips in this mock, just to talk about who are the players going in the same area. At number 26, the Tennessee Titans taking Notre Dame pass rusher Isaiah Foskey. At number 27, the Dallas Cowboys selecting Florida State pass rusher Jared Verse. Trenton Simpson, the athletic linebacker from Clemson, he goes at number 28 to the New York Giants. 29, the Minnesota Vikings take Penn State corner Joey Porter Jr. And at number 30, the Kansas City Chiefs take wide receiver Rashee Rice from SMU. So, Ben, which of those 5 strikes you as the best fit?
I think Isaiah Foskey to the Tennessee Titans. Nice. That's a Titans Mike Vrabel type of defensive end. Massive size, really good run defender, nasty, violent. I think they want to get a little bit more consistency as far as availability, opposite of Harold Landry out there. We'll see if Bud Dupree is kind of in the cards in the future out there. But Foskey and that no-nonsense type of defensive end just fits that scheme.
On offense for this entire mock draft, all 31 picks. Which pick on that side of the ball stands out most to you? What's your favorite?
I said this a few weeks ago. I love the proposition of getting Michael Mayer to the Chargers, a true Y tight end out there that can play every down for Justin Herbert, give him some pass game, threat, you know, down the seam and some yards after catch, be a red zone weapon out there. They need some consistency and some playmaking ability from that tight end position. Too many segmented players with Donald Parham and Trey McKitty out there and trying to figure out who can block for him, who can catch for him. Michael Mayer, first round to the Chargers. Justin Herbert, love that.
Yeah, how about Broderick Jones at 16 to the Colts?
Great pick.
That's a team that has had issues and questions at quarterback, tackle, corner, pass rusher, like the key positions in football. So just, you know what, get a blue chip guy here. And yeah. I know they just took Bernard Ryman in the 3rd round. He had a solid game, I thought, last week against the Raiders, but kind of figure that out. Don't let a good player prevent you from taking a great one. And Broderick Jones has the ability to be a great one. How about on defense? Who was the bigger standout pick there for you?
It's got to be Jalen Carter, falling 8th overall to the Seattle Seahawks. It feels like a steal, and it just feels like a great player out there in Pacific Northwest and that NFC West.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually wrote down Brian Brezzi. He went 21 to Seattle. So they take 2 defensive tackles, 2 different skill sets for sure between the 2 guys, and they can play different roles in that front. But that would be something because this is a team that took 2 young tackles. Then they took two young corners.
Both starting.
Take 2 young D tackles and plug them in.
Probably
keep
both
rolling.
Starting.
that would be a fun.
I don't
way
know what
to
Seahawks fans
mind.
Will think about that. And they might want some other players out there, maybe a quarterback of the future, but we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Ben, good stuff as always. We will talk to you next week right here on the Journey of the Draft podcast, presented by LifeBrand.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
All right, well, time now to welcome in Ross Tucker here for our Pick 6 segment. And Ross, as we will do every week, we will reflect on our picks from a week ago. And I had one of my best weeks.
We don't have to. We can just move on, Fran. We don't have to reflect.
Well, I feel like this week it's important for us, too, because I am coming off of maybe my best week of the season. I didn't hit my upset. Actually, both of our upsets got crushed last week for the first time this season. But a 5-point swing in my favor because I hit on all 5 of my picks. I hit both pick-ems. You lost both of them. Marshall over Appalachian State. LSU getting the win over Arkansas. The either or with Quentin Johnson touchdowns to Bijan Robinson. I was able to pick up another point there. So I hit on all 5. You hit on a couple, but I now have a 7-point lead. So you're still within striking distance, obviously. All you need is one of those upsets to be able to hit for you. Ross, let's get into our first pick'em of the week. And both of these pick'ems actually are going to go out west. We've got some pivotal matchups in the Pac-12. We'll start now with maybe the best uniform combination game of the entire college football season every single year, USC against UCLA. Who do you think wins this one?
You know what's interesting about that, by the way? That was the idea of my guy, Dave Damashek, who joins me on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast all the time. When he was doing radio in LA, he got, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who the two coaches were, but he said, you should both wear your home uniforms when you guys play against each other. And it looks beautiful.
It's awesome.
It's so nice. It's so awesome. It was a genius idea. And it's 1,000% correct. I'm going to go USC because I think they're better. I get a little bit nervous, though. Like when UCLA is coming off an upset loss like that.
Yep.
You know, it just seems like in college football, especially, teams are more poised to bounce back after something like that. I think USC is better. I'll take Caleb Williams and the Trojans.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I was interested to see which way you were going to go. And obviously, look, a big win for UCLA. But I think ultimately, USC, how explosive that offense can be, I think that's enough to contend with that UCLA run game. Obviously, they're going to want to control the clock and control the ball. But I think ultimately, the Trojans win out just because of what they can be through the air as well as on the ground. But to me, I will take the Trojans here in this one. Let's now go to the next big one here. Utah against Oregon. Again, another big one here out west in the Pac-12.
I'm going Oregon because, first of all, I do think they're the more talented team, and they're coming off that Washington loss. I think Oregon's got a pretty good team. Obviously, they had a bunch of issues in that Washington game, including losing Knicks for a little bit. But I think Oregon overall is a pretty darn good team. Utah's had a good year, too.
They have.
Toss-up game. But I feel like Oregon's going to bounce back. I don't picture them losing two games in a row. I like the Ducks.
Utah has lost exactly one game since week one against Florida. They lost against UCLA a month and change ago. I'm going to go Utah here. I just feel like these are the games that Utah consistently wins year after year after year. I'm going to pick the Utes. And when you look at them on both sides of the football, we know what they always are on defense. Offensively, they've got playmakers both at running back and certainly at quarterback, at tight end. So I think when you look at this Utah offense, just a really well-rounded group, I will take the Utes here over the Oregon Ducks. Let's now go to another fun matchup here. Notre Dame, Boston College, and I want to focus in for our over-under on the tight end, Michael Mayer. He is the focal point for this passing game and really for this entire Notre Dame offense. The over-under is 5.5, and that's the number of catches for Mayer against the BC Eagles. Ross, you like over-under here, 5.5 grabs.
I'm going to go under because I don't think they'll need to feed him that much.
Interesting.
I think they'll be able to run it against Boston College. They just don't, they won't have to give him the ball that much. So he'll probably have 3 or 4 catches, maybe even 5. I don't think he gets to 6. I'll go under.
See, BC, they've had 2 straight wins, and I think they're starting to feel a little bit of juice right now. The young quarterback has come in and given them a little bit of a pep in their step. I will take the over here. I think they'll make this a little bit closer, and maybe they have to lean into Mayer a little bit more than we think. So give me the over, maybe just over, 6 grabs for Michael Mayer. Let's now go to an either-or, and this is looking at 2 separate games, okay? But 2 young freshman stud running backs. One you are very familiar with, Penn State's Nick Singleton going up against Rutgers, and Ole Miss's Quinshon Judkins, who's probably going to be the SEC Freshman of the Year, the SEC Newcomer of the Year, going up here against Arkansas. Which freshman running back runs for more yards? Singleton against the Scarlet Knights or Judkins against the Razorbacks?
This is tough because obviously, you know, Arkansas's defense, I think, is better than Rutgers' defense. And they showed that against LSU. However, Singleton kind of splits the reps with Catron Allen.
Yep.
So he doesn't get a ton of them. But Singleton is such a threat to have a long run that I'm going to go Singleton here because of his ability to break a long one and because of Penn State leaning on the run game against Rutgers. So I'll go Singleton. Also, it's close in my mind. So I'm going to go with the kid from my hometown that I heard about when he was in eighth grade.
Judkins, man, I mean, he has been a monster the last couple of months here for the Rebels. I mean, he has hit over 100 yards in, what is it now? It's six of the last seven games. He had 135 against Alabama last week at 5.5 a carry, over 200 against A&M, 111 against a tough LSU front, 139 against Auburn. I'm going to just bet that he's going to keep this going here. Give me Quinshon Judkins. Total rushing yards over Arkansas. I will take Judkins here and go opposite of you. Let's now go with the high-low. Which number is higher? We're going to focus in on the Georgia-Kentucky game here, and I have an idea of which way you're going to go, but I'm interested to hear which way you decide to go in this one. Will Levis completions, the quarterback from Kentucky, who many believe could be a first-round pick next April, will Levis completions or Georgia's margin of victory over Kentucky?
So I'm going back to what I've done previously. I'm going back to my thought process. I'm going Will Levis completions. Now, look, I know Georgia's really good. Maybe they'll roll them. But I went away from my philosophy over the years last week, and it really came back to bite me. So I'm going back to, look, there's some chance that Kentucky wins, right? Or that it's a close game. So I'm taking that.
See, like I'm always like trying to push the boundaries with you and see just how willing you're, or how far you're willing to go. And so with this one, I thought it was interesting because Levis, you know, obviously, look, he's a talented quarterback and a guy that I think he's worthy of being discussed where he's being discussed. But the from a volume standpoint, it's not like he's completing 35 passes a game. It's a lot of the times he's been in the high teens or low 20s. And if you feel like Georgia can roll, which I think Georgia rolls here, I will take the margin of victory. Because I do think that Georgia is able to put up a bunch of points here against Kentucky. Let's now go to our upset specials. Like I said, this can be the big equalizer for you, Ross. Who do you like here? Who's your big upset for the week?
You know, I didn't have one that really jumped out to me looking at it. Like, there wasn't one where I was like, oh, that's definitely the game. That's definitely the game. I didn't even have that many I really liked.
But it's weird because there are a lot of options this week. But I agree with you. There's not one that hits you over the head like, oh, yeah, this is the one for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a team that I watched them earlier in the year. They have a really good quarterback, and they won last week. They got some momentum, and that's ULM, University of Louisiana Monroe, the Warhawks, playing against Troy. Troy beat Army last Saturday 10-9, but you play Army, that is a physically punishing game. So I like ULM having a chance to knock off Troy coming off that Army game.
And I'm sure Emory Hunt will like you picking against ULM or not rooting for ULM. I'm sure he will not appreciate that. I'm going to go with the team that you picked a week ago, Ross. You took Rice. Rice ended up getting throttled by Western Kentucky. I'm going to take them this week over UTSA. DeCorian Clark, a stud receiver for the Roadrunners, he is out for the season, so a little bit of firepower missing from that UTSA offense. And they've got other players there on that side of the football. But Rice, after getting beaten bad by Western Kentucky, maybe they're able to steal one here against a banged-up UTSA team. I will take the Rice Owls. And you know what? Maybe I shouldn't take them because I just took FAU last week, and the Owls really burned
There's
me.
There's a lot of Owls.
Yeah,
Temple,
a lot of Owls. FAU, we got three Rice. Owls. I mean, in the FBS.
There's only 130 college teams. Why do we have three Owls?
Well, look, we know the Owls that are closest to my heart, and they played a little bit better recently. But I'll take Rice here over UTSA. Ross, we'll see if I'm able to further extend this lead or if you could tighten it here as we hit the home stretch. We're getting close to the end of the regular season. We'll be talking about some championship games and bowl games before we know it.
Well, we're going head to head in a lot of these, so it'll be fun.
All right, so great stuff from Ross Tucker, Ben Fennell, and Erica at Home this week here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. We'll be back next week to break down everything we see in Week 12 in college football right here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by LifeBrand.